Welcome to the online ministry of Faith Christian Fellowship. FCF is a dynamic word and spirit-empowered church where faith and family meet. If you would like more information about our church or other media resources, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Came up probably about 6 weeks ago in some things that I was teaching back in the Bible lab on Wednesday nights, talking about the marriage covenant at Sinai. And sometime I'll maybe break that down a little bit for us. And the Lord started dealing with me with this, and I was just in the middle of some things and really felt like the Lord wanted to talk about this today. I want to talk to us about marriage today. And I think anybody, you can get anything out of this, okay? So it's not like that, you know, if you're not married or you're single in here, what I'm going to share with you, you can apply it to about anything. But I want to talk today about a house divided. Amen. You got your Bibles today? Picks or paper, right? Let's raise them high in the air. Let's say it like a man. This is my Bible, God's word for me. I can do what it says I can do, and I can be who it says I can be, and I can have what it says I can have. Today, my mind is alert and my heart is prepared to hear the unchanging, uncompromising, incorruptible word of God. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2 today. It's been said that getting married is easy, but staying married is more difficult. And staying happily married for a lifetime would be considered among the fine arts. I want to talk about the D word today, but I'm not talking about divorce in that sense. I want to talk about division in your home. I want to talk about discouragement in your home. I want to talk about disconnection in your home. I want to talk about despair in your home. Your home is not supposed to be hell. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. I didn't pay somebody today. Albert, I'm sorry. I didn't get that $20 to you. But your home is not supposed to be hell. It should be heaven on earth. Your home should be a place of refuge, a place that you love to go home to. Amen. This is the way that God has designed it. Right? It's the way God has designed it. But it's going to take wisdom to do this. It's going to take two people that are imperfect working together. Imagine that. Working together to make something look more beautiful. You got two people that are imperfect trying to make something look perfect. Right? So I want to talk to you this morning about some things that's on my heart. In Genesis chapter 2, let's start here in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable or suitable, right? Comparable or suitable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her. This is interesting. He brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called, whoa, man, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become what? Everybody say it. One flesh. And they both were naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, this is the story here. And if we got to get back to our marriages being organic. Everybody's about all organic stuff, right? It means free of chemicals and free of the stuff. Free of the stuff that's mixing in. We got to get back to our marriage becoming organic again, where it's free of the junk and free of the mixtures of society. Come on, somebody.
Okay.
God formed man. He formed Adam, and he brought him a helper. Everything God does, he does with the original intent in mind. Everything. What was the original intent? Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. That is the original intent for man. Man here, that means mankind. Mankind, we are made here to live for the glory of God, to go and have dominion, which means advancing God's cause, doing things that God has, doing things the way that God does things is the way that we should be operating daily. Not with hell in our homes. We can't even get to here because we're all the time fighting. Amen. That's all right. I'm going to bring my own encouragement today. I'll bring it my own encouragement. We need to rediscover God's purpose for marriage. Marriage is the stage on which God's love takes flesh and walks around in two people. We're here to help each other to reach a greater potential. When two people live in self-giving, self-sacrificial love, serving and forgiving one another, they are displaying what God looks like to the world.
That's good, Pastor.
This is the original intent. You say, well, you know what? You know, I thought it was all about sex, and I thought it was all about attraction, and I thought it was all about the feelings of love. What happens when all that goes away?
Come on.
You better have something anchored in. Somebody's got to get anchored. And we're anchoring ourselves because love is not a feeling. Love is a commitment. The biggest lie that's ever sold is, I don't love you anymore. That's a lie. Let me tell you why that's a lie. Because love is not about a feeling. Love is a commitment. The greatest act of love that you and I have is a naked man on a cross. And that didn't feel good, but that was the greatest act of love. You may lose the feelings of love. It may lose the live this life, but if you'll stay with your commitment, feelings will come back around.
Amen.
Don't get mad at me. I lost that loving feeling. That's a lie. You've lost them. Maybe you have lost a loving feeling. But love is a commitment. And what happens is we get our marriages out about our feelings. And what happens, it's going off. That's pulling it. And it's going to go off the rails. Because marriages go in cycles. About every 5 to 7 years, your marriage will start going through a cycle. They go through cycle. Because things change every 5 to 7 years in your life. Your marriage will go through cycles. But you got to stay with your commitment. Are you guys all right here? The original intent. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And His righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Your spouse can never make you whole. What happens is we start idolizing our spouses. Will you make me complete? That's a lie. There's nobody that can make you complete except for Christ.
Amen.
Now, can my wife bring to me things? Yes, absolutely. I'll show you this in a second. That she can bring things to me. She can make my life happier. But she cannot complete me. Because my completion is found in Jesus Christ alone.
Amen.
How can you say that, Pastor? How can you say that? That this is the way this operates. Because Adam was created, And the first person that Adam experienced was not the wife. The first person that Adam experienced was the father. Come on, somebody. So then God said, listen, it's not good for you to be alone, Adam. It's not good for you to be alone. So I'm going to make you somebody going to help you because you need a helper. I often said that Eve was like Adam 2.0. Yeah, we're going to get this one right. But the Bible says that God put Adam to sleep, took the rib out, formed the woman, and then he brought her to him. The first person that Eve saw was not Adam. She looked into the face of Father. Because why? There's where your completion is found in him and only him. Now, when you get brought together, something dynamic can happen. Something dynamic. But it can happen. I'm going to say that. Have you heard me say this before? Ladies, you cannot get your identity from a man, but only from the Father. It's unhealthy to make your spouse the source of your assurance, your continual support, reliance, and wholeness. Now, does it not? Now, hear what I'm not saying. Listen, my love language, one of the ways that Andy can fill up my love tank, right, is by words of affirmation. Man, that yard looks great. Yeah. Don't it look good? Whew. It looks good, babe. I know, thanks. You know, it's words of affirmation. But I can't find that ultimately with her alone. Are you guys all right here? So he said, I'm going to make you a helper, Adam, and I'm going to get all the ladies on my side today, okay? I'm going to make you a helper, Adam. And I started looking at this word helper, and it's the Hebrew word ezer, E-Z-E-R, ezer. He said, I'm going to make you a helper comparable to you. Check this out. If you just let me geek out just a second. The word here is ezer. And it means the strong helping the weak. To strengthen someone in a way that they can't do for themselves. You guys all right here? He said, Adam, I'm going to make you somebody because you're going to be strong in areas that she's not. Right? And she's going to be strong in areas that you're not. I'm going to bring you somebody that's going to help you. And if you notice, what does this happen? When does he say this? It was right prior to Genesis 3. What happened in Genesis 3? It's the fall, the temptation. He said, listen, I'm going to put two trees in the garden. You're going to need some help, Adam. Now, we know it failed, but guess what? God always has a plan. Amen? It failed. But he gave him the helper before the fall, because he knew he couldn't do this alone. The word helper means to surround or to protect or to aid. And if you notice, God made Eve out of Adam's what? Not his foot bone, but his what? His rib. Because man and woman are to walk together, side by side. But your ribs protect your vital organs. Let me tell you something, ladies. The words you speak about your spouse, they hurt. You are to protect his heart. Amen. Thank you, babes. This is going a lot different than I thought it was going to be. I don't care. I'm going to preach it. I do kid you about that, you know. I was a youth pastor for 13 years. I know what it's like to get no amens. Believe me. I was trained in that atmosphere. Right? People picking their nose and having side conversations. Right? I threw kids out of youth group before. I did. It might have been your kid. I don't know. You ain't listening. Get out. I prepared. I've been away. I've been doing this way too long. I've been preparing all this week for this. Get out. You're not going to sit around causing problems here. No, I just want you to understand today that God has made you. God has prepared somebody for you that can protect you, to aid you, to help. Now, he said, I'm going to make you a helper, an Ezer. She's going to be strong where you're weak, Adam. Right? So Eve was never meant to be some type of errand runner or some type of labor or something that's added to Adam to make him being alone better. It's about them making each other better. Eve was a gift to Adam, and Adam was a gift to Eve. Both were gifts. Your marriage is a gift from God. I want to say that again. Your marriage is a gift from God. God's made you a helper. God's brought you a man into your life that is to be a protector and provider and lover and leader. I mean, God has brought you a woman that was to be strong where you're weak. To help and to love, right? So I'm going to make a helper suitable. That's why he says the word suitable. Or I think it's comparable. I read it out of the New King James. I read it out of the New King James. So it says comparable or suitable. And this is interesting because this word actually means this. This word suitable means to be an opposite or corresponding to him. The word actually means it's a help that stands opposite him or someone that's staring face to face with you. So he said, I'm going to bring somebody not to be behind you, not to be under your feet, but actually to be looking you face to face because it's a mirror to you and me. Our marriages are mirrors. If we'll actually start seeing our wives right, it'll actually mirror back to us men what they really need and vice versa. If I can truly see the value, you know why people have marriage problems? Let me tell you why. Why people have marriage problems is because people lose value in people's eyes. When people come into my office for marriage problems and I start working with them over weeks and helping them because I do this and I love it. I'm not a professional counselor, but I'm a pastoral counselor, but I love to get in the room with marriages. And I'm telling you, the people that come in the room, it's because they've lost value. The great gift, just like Christmas. Remember getting a Christmas present when you were a kid? You opened that thing up on Christmas morning. Remember? Remember how you felt? Huh? 6 months down the road, where was the thing most generally at? In the closet. It lost its what? That's what we do in our marriage. They lose value. And when somebody loses value, you don't care anymore and you treat them any way you want. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. Two Christian people being married should be the greatest thing ever. Why? Because you have the love of God in your hearts. Romans 5:5 says the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Two Christians. The reason it doesn't happen is because somebody's selfish. This is why Paul would say things like this. Love never fails. Well, how could it? If you're always seeking the highest good of another person, which is what love agape is, which is self-sacrificial, self-giving of yourself, how could that ever fail?
That's right.
Amen. How could that ever fail? And the longer we go with our marriages, it shouldn't be duller. It should be getting brighter. I don't care, man. There's people in this room been married for 30 years, 40 years, 60 years. Love grows. The only reason it stops growing is because we quit watering it.
Come on.
Or we think it's better on the other side. But we find out, we get over it, it's just astroturf. If you water your lawn, right? Husband, wife in the room, listen. I'm not beating anybody up. Please don't hear what I'm saying. Not saying. Yeah, please hear what I am saying, but please don't hear what I am saying, not what I'm not saying. So I want you to hear, because I want you guys, we have great representation of marriages in this room. We have great, great, great people, great marriages, but I don't want your house to be divided. Because the Bible says right here, I'm going to move on, okay? It says right here in verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become what?
One flesh.
One flesh. Be joined, shall leave his father and mother and be joined. That word join means it implies a strong commitment to stay together, to stick to remain with. It's like something glued together that can't be easily separated. But he says, one flesh. One flesh. One, the Hebrew word ahad, E-C-H-A-D, ahad. And it does not mean this. It means unity. One flesh means unity. One, ahad, means unity. Many different parts, but all unified. If you could think about a motor, like think about popping up the hood and looking at a motor. There's all kinds of different parts that's working, right? They're not the same, but they're all working in ahad or oneness. They're all working as a unit. This is what the Bible calls one flesh. One flesh. Unity within diversity. This is why men and women are different. This is why marriage is between men and women, because you need each other.
Amen.
Unit. The goal of marriage is not that I'm just trying not to get a divorce, or I'm just not just trying to survive, or I'm just not trying to have an affair. The goal is to become one flesh. So I'm going back. Listen to me. I'm building a case here. So just like an orchestra is not tuned. You can say even a band, but you could say an orchestra, just kind of like that feel to it. But they're not tuned to other instruments. You don't tune your instrument to another instrument. You tune your instrument to one thing, one note. Division comes when we stop turning or tuning into the Spirit and start tuning into our own opinions. We got to do it God's way. Listen, you want a better marriage? Just do it God's way. Now, you say, well, Pastor Paul, are you saying, well, are you? No, we're all in the process here. Ain't nobody perfect. But I want to tune my life to one fork. I want to tune my life to one flesh. So what are the hindrances we are facing to become one flesh, right? And we're talking about one flesh, we're talking about spirit, soul, and body. We're talking about every way, right? The goal in marriage is not to think alike, but to think together. How can two walk together unless they agree? So, one flesh here is in every part of our lives. We think one flesh is about sex. That's just a part of it. Sex is not the root of your marriage. It's the fruit of your marriage. If you have a marriage that's based on sex alone, that's the root, you got a very superficial marriage. Now, I'm not telling you sex is not important. It is very important in your marriage. It's something that it needs to be celebrated. It needs to happen. And I tell couples all the time, you can say, well, you need to have a lot of sex. I'm being serious. It's a good thing. But this is the deal, is that it's not the root of my marriage, it's the fruit of my marriage.
Amen.
Are you guys okay here? If you have a sexless marriage or this is going on inside your marriage, it's going to a deeper root problem. Right?
Yes.
You guys all right here?
Yes.
I thought it definitely gets your attention when sex comes, right? It's just... So what are the hindrances facing becoming one flesh? You're both different. Different personalities. Different perceptions. Here's this hindrance. Selfishness. This is the default setting. The default setting for humanity is selfishness. So you'll always go back to the default if you don't watch out. That's why you got to pick up your cross and follow Jesus what? Daily. Distractions. Lack of knowledge. Some people have not been taught about marriage. Culture. Culture is trying to redefine what marriage is, right? What marriage is, right? Marriage is between one man and one woman. That's the Bible. Satanic assault is another one. Satanic assault. This is the things that we're facing, right? We're facing these things. So I need a couple come up here real quick. One couple. So if you're brave enough to come, come on. Oh, don't make me. I need a couple. I need a husband and a wife. All right, thank you. Oh, no, we got it. I can win. Okay. So it's like the three-legged race. One flesh, because this is the attack. I'm going to show you now. The attack is on one flesh. Okay?
Yes.
This is the attack. The attack on your is about one flesh. So if you can get here, and we'll tie you guys up here a second, okay? Let me tie you up. Should have had a little longer bandana, but it'll work. Actually, won't you guys come up on the stage? That'll be first, or up on the platform first. Not like this. I'll come up here. Yeah. Okay, I'll tie you up. Okay, so it's like a three-legged race, or they have to work together. This is what Ahad, one in the Hebrew, one Ahad, this unit, right? This unity within diversity. They're both different, right? How long have you guys been married?
31 years.
31 years, right? That's a long time. But they're different, and they're different for a reason, because God made them different. So I've got them tied up here, and if they're going to walk together, they're going to have to do some stuff, right? So go ahead, just walk across here. Okay? They're going to have to... Now, think about it a second. They're having to pay attention. One of them can't get too far out ahead, can't try to pull, right? When the financial problems are hitting, you know what? Okay, just walk in. You know what? We're gonna be one flesh. When sickness comes, right? We're going to be what? One flesh, right? When things start happening around us, I'm going to be one flesh, right? We're going to be one flesh. When we disagree, I'm going to stay in step. One flesh. In sickness, one flesh. When feelings leave, I'm staying with one flesh. When the feelings leave, I'm going to stay in step. How about crazy kid cycles? What about when you got those 2- and 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and they're running around like just like madmen and women? What are you going to do? You got to stay in step with each other. This is what it looks like. It takes practice. It takes slowing down. It takes considering one another. You guys all right here? I wanted to give you the visual. I appreciate you guys. Now you got to Now, you're stuck.
We're stuck together.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I'll get it.
Okay, we decided that a long time ago.
Oh, I can't get it off. Thank you, guys. Hey, give him a good hand clap. We appreciate you guys. So, one flesh. Well, praise the Lord. Already caused the problem. Now, what I want you to see now is this. Look, God placed Adam in the garden to what? To what? Tend and what? To tend and to keep. Now, if we can see the garden, that's home. It was home for Adam and Eve. It was to tend or to cultivate and to guard. They were to cultivate an environment and they were to keep hell out of their home. I want you to do this. They were to cultivate an environment, right? They were to expand the garden. They were to take dominion, which means to take, do things the way God does things, to advance His cause and His purpose in the world. And His job was also to guard it, to tend it, and to keep it. I put down the reason the D words are dominating is because we've stopped tending and keeping our marriages. Because in unity, there is power. Okay. For good or for bad. Stay with me now. Because listen now, it's about what? What's the attack against? It's against what? One flesh. The attack is to come and cause disunity in the home. It's to cause disunity. Think about the good things, right? Psalm 133. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, for there the Lord commands a blessing, right? Life forevermore. So inside of unity, inside the people of God being unified, there's blessing. Listen, both heaven and both hell have to have unity to work on the earth. Without agreement and without unity, heaven can't be released. And without agreement, without unity, hell can't be released. Or hell can be released. So heaven, if I'm not in agreement, If I'm not in agreement, if I get in agreement with heaven and I get in agreement with what God says, it releases blessing. But if I get in agreement with the enemy and what he's doing, and my home's full of hell, full of cutting each other down, full of using my tongue and just using it against each other, passive aggressiveness and eye rolling and smart aleck comments. I know that's nobody here. That's for the people listening. I know that's not you. You'll release hell in your home. And what happens is there's confusion. Wherever there's envy and strife and division, there is confusion in every evil work. That's James chapter 3. If you got strife in your home, it is opening the door up for the devil. So the enemy's trying to trying to gain access to our garden. So, listen to this. Dr. John Gottman, he was a professor of psychology at the University of Washington, Seattle, and there's a bunch of stuff that he's done. But he followed 670 couples from newlyweds to retirees. And this is what he said. Only 20% of the divorces was caused by an affair. Most marriages die with a whimper. With a whimper. He says as people run away from one another, they slowly grow apart. And that's what happens.
Right.
They lose value. Marital drift will happen automatically. When you get busy in life, marital drift will happen. That's why you've got to stay intentional of coming back together again. Listen, we have so many child-ran homes that our marriages are suffering for it.
Amen.
It's all about the kids. And listen, I love my girls. I will walk the earth. I will walk the earth for my girls barefooted on glass. I would. But my girls know before ever they were, it was me and her.
Come on, Pastor.
And when they're gone, it's going to be me and her.
Come on.
And I told her, we told each other a long time ago, we will not lose each other. I'm not going to look at you at 28 years in. I've been married 28 years to that girl right there. 28 years. I've been with her for 33 years. September the 27th of 1992, she kissed me. And it was over. Yeah. That happened. Jamie Harris, he was one of the ones there that just he provided that space for me. I appreciate that, brother. Stop. You know what she just told me? She said, "Stop there." Nothing else. I promise. Nothing else happened. It's all good. It's all good. But what happens? Is it hot in here? Or is it just me? What happened was I told her my kids are going to leave, and we're seeing all that happen. But when they leave, we're going to have a great time. I look forward to the season, actually, what I'm entering into.
Yeah.
What I'm saying to you, church, is this. You've got to protect your home.
Yeah.
And what happens is your marriage will drift apart if you don't watch out. Can I get a good amen here?
Yeah.
All right. Where do I want to go? Go to Mark chapter 3. We'll have to pick this up next time. Mark chapter 3, but I do want to look here. Verses 20 through 26. Verse 23, Mark 3, and he called them to himself and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a house or if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end." There has to be unity. And the enemy's trying to come after one flesh, oneness, and he's trying to divide our homes. The New Living Translation says this in verse 25, "A family splintered by feuding will fall apart." The Message translation says, "A constant squabbling family disintegrates." Is that you today? Do you have a home that's all the time squabbling? Do you have a home that's all the time in tension? Do you have a home that's like that? I am behooving you today. Stop that. Your kids need you strong. Because listen, the minute that the enemy comes in and causes division, there is an unrest that starts to settle in that home. And your kids and our kids, there's all kinds of anxieties that's happening all the time. They certainly don't need to act when they come into our house. They don't need that. My gosh. They got enough hell they're dealing with out there.
You're right, Pastor.
They don't need it in the home.
Come on.
Dad, listen to me. Sometimes it may have been your fault. You know what you need to do? Stand up in front of your family. Be the man of God that you're supposed to be. Be the leader of your home. And stand up and say, you know what? I have wronged you. I've treated your mother wrong. I've talked to you this way. And I am sorry for what I've done. I take responsibility for my actions. And you know, today things are changing.
That's good. Amen.
But there's so much pride in people's lives. That would never happen in a lot of ways. Well, I ain't doing that. Ain't my fault. Ain't my fault. Ain't my fault. Ain't my fault. Well, I'm telling you one thing. With the marriage, it's never just one person's fault. You may have been, listen, you may have been 10% wrong, 90% on the other person, but you're still responsible for your 10%. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
That's good preaching, Pastor. Come on.
Just take responsibility for yourself. And if we would just have some humility, see, the rag of humility and empathy will be the thing that will clean up most messes. Actually, it will clean up all messes in your life. Just some humility and some empathy. You want things to change in your marriage? Just have a little bit of humility and have a little bit of empathy. Just put yourself in your spouse's shoes for 5 minutes. Listen, I'm giving you now a tip for a great marriage right here. A tip for a great marriage right here. 5 minutes of empathy for your spouse. A tip to a greater marriage, a better marriage. You know what you do? 5 minutes of empathy. 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. Jesus said like this, do unto others. Right? As you would want to be done. That's empathy. You guys all right here? That's empathy. Watching. Guarding your home. Tend and keep it. Cultivate it and guard it. Amen. I'm going to close this down. So the enemy, I put this down, Satan doesn't need to destroy your house from the outside if he can divide it from the inside. The devil knows he can't overpower a unified home. If you would read on down here, actually in Mark 3, if you had your Bible open, verse 26, and if Satan has risen up against Satan and he divided and he is divided, he cannot stand but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house. And this strong man here is Satan, okay? Jesus, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his good unless he first binds the what? And then he will what? So your job, my job, is to bind the strong man. If you read in context, the strong man that Jesus is talking about right here is Satan. You got to first bind him. And then you can plunder his house. So what the devil wants is this. A bundle of sticks is hard to break. A bundle. Because there's unity. So the enemy comes to try to unbind all that and get it away. That way he can just break it. But the more unified you are, the strength is there. It may bend, but it won't break.
Right.
But if he can separate you one by one,
yep. Amen.
The enemy doesn't like unity. It's all about one flesh, one mind, one accord. We're staying in step. I don't know what that looks like for your home, but get it done. Mm-hmm. That may be some hard conversations that you got to have. But have them. It's worth it.
Amen.
Take some responsibility. Men, stand up. Take some responsibility. Your family just wants you to lead. That's it. We got great men representation in this church. You guys are just great. Stand up, lead your family. If they don't see it in you, where are they going to see it? There's a lot of people out those doors that wants to educate them and wants to show them marriage. But when they see it, they're going to look for it because you showed them. You guys all right here? Are you guys okay here?
Yes.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
So, I got to close it down there. I'm going to continue this. And I'm going to talk to you the next time about conflict. Conflict resolution. John Gottman said this. He said he could spend 15 minutes with a couple and see them in conflict with a 90. This is it. This is why I looked this up. It was amazing. I read this out of a, I'm assuming this was right. It was in my Bible program, and I was looking for some illustrations, and this thing come up. With a 90% accuracy, John Gottman was able to predict whether a couple would end up in divorce by just watching the first 15 minutes of how they handled conflict. I was like, oh my gosh. He had got so good at seeing the keys with a 90% predictability, was able to do that.
Wow.
Conflict is normal in your home. It happens. Somebody's going to have a bad day. Someone's not going to do well one day. Somebody's not going to see eye to eye. Right? Somebody. It's not. I'm not talking about having... You can actually grow through conflict. Do you understand that even
yes.
in your conflict, you could actually grow into deeper intimacy because of
Amen.
Because of being able to handle it?
That's right.
Hearts become vulnerable and open in the middle of conflict that you would never got any other way. But if we will handle it correctly, it will actually drive us deeper into our relationship, actually being in health. But what happens is it's sustained. It's sustained conflict. It's unresolved conflict that just keeps over and over and over again. We want to know how to handle it.
That's good, Pastor. Amen.
So next time, we'll talk about that. Amen. You guys all right here?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. All right. I will say this. We'll end up on this one right here. Come on up. Come on up here. Talk about conflict, right? It's normal. It's going to happen. It's how we deal with it. Let me just say this. The wife asked for something new and shiny for her birthday that goes 0 to 180 in a few seconds for her anniversary. Her husband bought her a new scale. That's when the problem started. Oh! Stand to your feet today. Good to end on a laugh. Amen. It's been a little tense in here this morning. I get it. So I had to end up on something that would cause us all just to laugh. And I want you to know today that I believe in you because I believe in the God that's inside of you. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your marriage. There's nothing worse, man. And seeing a couple that's been together 25 years and ended in divorce, that's a lot of time invested.
Yes.
Hey, that's a lot of time. I understand. You say, Pastor Paul, you don't understand my situation. And I'm not pretending like I do. There are times that there's no other resort but to end a marriage. Sometimes the brokenness is just too much. Sometimes. Saw it happen. I've wept and cried with couples. Just the wounds were too deep. But I want to say this to you. That's an outlier. You can work through your problems. You can work through infidelity. I saw it happen. Counseled people that did walk through it. You can do it. It takes a lot, but you can do it. Most of what we're arguing about doesn't matter. If you really think about it, most of what we're arguing about, it doesn't really matter. All it is pent-up emotions and pent-up unmet expectations in our hearts, because we concoct things and think things, and we've had these pictures that sometimes don't always happen, right? And conflict never gets resolved, and the next thing you know, it's building and building and building and building and building and building and building. It's like the pressure cooker until boom. Don't you remember 6 months ago when you said this and you said that? And now it's that. You hear it? Unresolved conflict. Words hurt. Things matter. The best thing you can do for your marriage, the best thing you can do for your marriage is you show up every single time. I'm here for it. I'm not walking out. I'm here for it. I committed to you. I committed to that lady. April the 26th, 1997. I committed to her. And we took vows. And I died that day. I died that day. I was preaching. I know you guys have heard me say this story, but I'm going to tell it again real quick. I was preaching one day, and I was up here. It was a Sunday after a wedding. And I was preaching. It was Mandy King, Pam's daughter Mandy. And I had done that on Saturday. And I was there, yeah, I done a funeral yesterday. I thought, oh my gosh, I just called the wedding a funeral. And I was preaching, and the Lord stopped me. He said, it was a funeral. Somebody died. It's called a marriage altar for a reason. Things die at an altar. So when I gave my heart to her and she gave her heart to me, I died that day to put her first. And she died to herself that day to make me first. How could a marriage not work if you're putting somebody first?
Come on.
The only reason it doesn't happen, somebody's selfish. Somebody's selfish.
Amen. True.
So you got to die again. Paul said that the marriage is actually a picture of Christ and the church. That's why it's so sacred. That's why the world's tried to redefine it. Because it's a picture. It's a picture of Christ and the church, the Christ and his bride. So fight for your marriage. Don't give up. Father, I thank you for this day today. I want, if you have a couple, if you're a couple here in this room, your spouse, I want you to grab their hand. Come up here, babe. I'm not isolating anybody, promise. If you're single in this room, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. None, okay? So, Father, today we stand hand in hand. Lord, you see our homes. You see what's going on inside our homes. You view what's in our homes. Lord, I pray that we would bring it to you. None of this surprises us, or surprises you, what's going on with us. Because you see it. So I pray, Lord God, today as we stand here hand in hand again. Not just as a sign of affection, but a sign of solidarity. That we are one flesh. And Lord, today I pray that the enemy will be kicked out of our homes. The strong man will be bound today in the name of Jesus. And unity will return to our homes. And Lord, heaven will be released. Where two or three are gathered in your name, you're in the midst. So God, today, I pray that the strong man will be bound and a unity in heaven will be released again into our homes. That our homes will be a refuge. That our home will be a place, Lord God, of refuge and strength. A place, Lord God, of rearming and refueling. Our home, God, that we as couples, that our family, our kids will want to run back to, not to stay away from. So much peace in the home. I just release that right now in Jesus' name over your home, a peace that passes all understanding, and a spirit of cooperation, a spirit of unity. Lord, I pray that we'd be watchmen on the wall and we would see the tactics of the enemy and we would stand together. In Jesus' name, I pray over every couple, every marriage here today. Strengthen it. Help it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty and glorious name. Jesus' glorious name. Oh, yes, Lord. Do it. Do it, God. Repair and restore today. Do a work in the hearts of people, God. And that, Lord, that we would humble ourselves. And we would demonstrate that in our homes. Thank you, Lord. We love you. And we give you the praise. In Jesus' name. While you pray today, and if there's anybody in this room today.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit us at faithchristianfellowship.com.